Father God, I just thank you that you're Lord of all. Through the storm, you are the Lord of all. Father, I just thank you that we can just place ourselves under your care, under your protection, under your love, under your peace. We have nothing to fear because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen. It's great to be with you today. Please sit down. My shoelace has just come undone. It's great to be here today. It's lovely to be with a body of people because I think we've missed that so much. And although we might be spread around, it's just great to be with real people. And because, you know, phone calls, Zooms, FaceTime, it's all limited. We thank the Lord for it, but it's just good to be together. And I've got just a very practical thing I want to share with you today. It's about something that I have called for a long, long time, a song in the morning. And I was just thinking about this over the past few days. Just a few weeks ago, Joyce said to me, are you still singing your song in the morning? I thought, I might have let it slip. And I kind of pulled myself up and said, no, God gave this to me years and years ago, that when we wake up in the morning, the very first thing that happens when you open your eyes, God will give you into your spirit a song. And that will be the words that he has got for you for that particular day. And this happened years and years ago. I used to have this song in the morning. You go in the shower, you sing it. You sing in the shower, it's fine, all the rest of it. And then somehow or other, it just ministers to your spirit, sets you up for the day. And so over the years, at various times, I've taught people about getting a song in the morning. You may well get one. But if you do, you've got to keep using it. So I remember at one of the early faith camps, I used to do the kind of 7 o'clock thing in the early morning. And one morning I just taught everybody in the faith camp about a song in the morning. And I told them how to receive the song, how to use the song, and how to let it really change their lives. And we prayed and all the rest of it. And we were, just a few weeks later, we were doing a weekend of ministry in London. And we started on the Friday night, but there was a March for Jesus on the Saturday at some point. And so the church that we were in, they were all part of March for Jesus. So, right, off we go. So there we are going right through kind of Trafalgar Square. I don't know where we were. And I kind of found myself on the end of the church. You know, an Anglican church, they have these big banners with the name of the churches. I was on one of the poles, someone on the other pole, walking down the road. And as I was going down the road, someone just came out to me and said, you Charles Sibthorpe? I said, yeah, that's right. She said, I heard you teach on the song in the morning at faith camp, and I've been doing it, and it's changed my life. And she disappeared. And I was still hanging this pole. I thought I'd like to have a conversation with you. and I'm marching through with this banner. Now, I just want to give you some sort of keys about it. You see, we are made up body, soul, and spirit. Now, you know what your body's like? Our bodies are strong and healthy and free from the virus. Amen? So that's the start. Then there is the soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And we can receive things in the mind. And what I'm aware of is that everything around us concerning this virus is trying to get at our mind. You watch the news and you hear fear, you hear negativity, you hear gloom and doom. And so we need to be very careful what we allow in our minds. Our minds and our emotions at this time are prey to all that's going on around us. And so I don't want to listen to my mind telling me negative things, and nor do I want to listen to my emotions. I'm at peace and I'm blessed, because that's where my emotions are. In my mind, I know that God is good. But it is God speaks into our spirit. And I was just reading a verse in James chapter 4 and verse 5. And it's one of those verses that in various translations, it's kind of quite... you don't quite know what it's saying. But I've been reading the New Living Translation. I try and read a different translation of the Bible for my kind of general reading through the Bible every year. So I just, a different one. This year it's the New Living Translation. James 4, 5. God is passionate that the Spirit he has placed in us should be faithful to him. I thought that's great. Now God is passionate. Now God's placed a Spirit in you. It says in Genesis, when God made man, he said he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living being. That breath of life is his spirit. And his spirit is in touch. Your spirit is in touch with his spirit. And God is passionate that the spirit he has placed within you is in tune with him. So, this is where it comes to the song in the morning. But I just want to read another scripture, which is from Isaiah 50 and verse 4, because this is really the key scripture for what I'm teaching you today. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue. This is Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen, like one being taught. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear, that's the ear of my spirit, to listen like one being taught. Now, okay, I had a song this morning, and the song God gave me today was, You are the King of Glory. You are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of Righteousness. Do you know that one? I can see some of you. Do you know that one? Some of you do. I saw some nods. Well, that was my song for this morning. But you see, you are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You're the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of Righteousness. Do you see what that is doing into my spirit? Can you feel it? So, when you get your song, you sing it, because it's going to be different every day. Now, Joyce went to an Anglican boarding school. And so, some of the songs that are coming through from Joyce, I mean... it's ancient and modern. I think Colin used to call it ancient and more ancient. But I want to tell you that some of these songs are absolutely amazing. Now, Judith and Andrea know this. Our grandson is struggling with epilepsy. And it's a real prayer battle. And just a few days ago, we were really... kind of in there praying, because he was going through a difficult time. And when we just spend time together and we read the word and we pray together. And Joyce said, look here, today my song that God gave me was, Oh love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. And, you know, it's great to have the Google, you know. You think you get three lines down and you've lost it. Bang, bing, bing. Then, now Joyce, she loves the fact that you can talk to the phone. I tend to write on the phone. So Joyce clicks in, "Oh, love, that will not let me go." And before you know it, you've got all the words there. And we just sat there and we just read through that that song. And then we discovered how it was written. A man called George Matheson wrote that song. And when he was in his late teens, he was a great man of God. He was a brilliant scholar. When he was late teens, early 20s, he had a fiance and they were very much in love. But he was diagnosed that his sight was going. He was going to be blind very shortly. And his fiance said, I don't want to marry a blind man. And which was absolutely devastating. And then his sister cared for him. And just a few years later, his sister was getting married. So his care was gone. His fiance had gone. And on the wedding day of his sister, the Lord gave him, "Oh, love that will not let me go." Now, you look up those words and read the whole thing through. It's stunning. Because it just ministers into that situation. Here's a man who had, just such heartache. He had a ministry that went for years. He had a church in Edinburgh, I think about 2,000 people. He touched the lives of thousands of people. But at that moment of his greatest need, he needed to hear in his spirit, "Oh, love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul on thee." And this is just, this is where God said to me today, just share the song in the morning and encourage these people to use that song, because God is going to speak to your spirit. And I don't know where the songs are going to come from, but they will come. And they'll minister to your spirit. And as you sing them out, you are going to be strengthened in your spirit. So you walk out into the day, whatever the day is. You put the news on, you hear, you read the newspaper, or whatever you do, and you discover everything that's going on around you, which is full of negativity and full of gloom and doom. But right within you, God has spoken a word. I love the verse in Psalm 22, which says, "But you are wholly enthroned on the praises of Israel." And you know the song. I hope you know that here, I get a song you didn't know. Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you are King. Standing here in the midst of us, we lift you up with our praise. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. Because the rule and the reign and the peace and the blessing of God is going just to fill you up as you get yourself centered on Him. And we've just really had to, Joyce and I had to repent that at times you can know all these things and not do them. And over the last few weeks, we've just found ourselves, what song did you get? What song did you get? Then you start singing these things. Just as we start, you can get plunged into the word and get very worthy about everything. But just to worship the Lord, just to sing, it does something to your innermost being. And that really is a key. Because we need a defense mechanism in this day and generation. Because we are not going to succumb to these things that are happening in our nation. Right at the beginning, the Lord began speaking about the blood. Actually, I saw a book over downstairs about Colin had written, Pastor Colin had written about the blood. I'd just like to read that one, because God began to speak about the blood. The blood on the lintel on the two side posts. The destroying angel will not enter this house. And one of the things that we've been doing during this lockdown is we've been making a few messages on Facebook, and just about 10 minutes long. And Joyce had shared a few, and she said, now, the one on the blood, you need to do that. And I just found the Lord just giving me things about the blood of Jesus and shared this message. And I was quite stunned. You know, you've just... The number of people who commented, viewed, liked, shared it, I was staggered, because we need to realize that the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but they're mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. When God speaks, you know, he speaks into our spirit and we respond to him. I just saw he will speak faith. When you listen to him, he'll speak faith. He'll speak peace. He will counteract the voice of the enemy. Amen? And he will give focus and purpose to every day. Every one of us has a destiny. And there are tremendous opportunities in these days. And we need to take hold of them. I just sense, I want to just pray. I just want you to stand up a moment. I know some of you, you're nodding and you know what I'm talking about in this, but I am asking, Father God, I am praying for my brothers and sisters. Father, I am praying that they will receive this song in the morning, every day. Father, I just thank you that you say that you're passionate, that the spirit you've placed in us is going to be faithful to you, but is also going to be sensitive to your voice. Father God, you, by your spirit, you speak into our spirits, and you give us words of life, words of truth and faith, words that strengthen, words that encourage, words that build us up. And as we give, as we receive these songs, and we declare, oh, love that will not let me go, we declare, you are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. And wherever these words and songs come from, you speak them into our hearts, and we just lift them to you. As we worship, build your throne. As we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that my brothers and sisters here are going to have a sensitive spirit every day. They're going to receive a song and words from heaven. And they are going to go out built up and strengthened into every day, and not under the heaviness of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may sit down.
Hallelujah. We needed to hear that, didn't we? I needed to hear that afresh, although I am a singer. And my, you know, they're real golden oldies that I dig out, but never mind. The Lord gives them to me. Right, I want to read you a scripture, and then I'm going to give some testimony. The scripture is in Matthew chapter 6, and I want to remind you that this is Jesus speaking, okay? This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, speaking today, because it's always today in his courts, and I'm reading it from the Message. Verse 5. When you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical performance. All these people are making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here is what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place where you won't be tempted to role play before God. And just be there as simple and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Isn't that wonderful? Now, it's Jesus asking you to do something, and he says this, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place where you won't be tempted to show off or, you know, perform. Just be there simply and honestly, as you can imagine, and the focus will move from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Now, those are the words that I must have heard at the beginning of the year, sometime at the beginning of the year, because Charles and I are in the habit of going, reading the Bible cover to cover once a year. I mean, we do that. We sometimes probably read bits more than once a year, but, you know, that's that we have a Bible reading plan and we just go through it, Genesis to Revelation. So it's Matthew 6, so it was obviously at the beginning of the year. And I just had to say to myself, do I do this? Now, we're in the habit of, we're retired, we spend time together at home, we have breakfast, we sit down, we read the Word quietly to ourselves, we pray together, we worship together, we chat together. But it says more than that. It says, find a quiet, secluded place. In the NIV or the older version, it says, when you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who is unseen, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling like pagans. Don't be like them. And what I felt the Holy Spirit say to me is, look, are you doing that? And I felt really compelled to find a quiet place and shut the door and be on my own. Now, we used to do that. We used to pray separately and then just come together and pray together. But I broke my leg at one time and I was on my own a lot. And during that time I said to Charles, you know, there is a kind of loneliness, you know, just being on your own. Can't we do more together in prayer and in, you know, just sitting together? But then I felt the Lord reverse that and say to me, come on, I need you on your own. And that's important, and it's important particularly for husbands and wives. You know, you need, your relationship with God is individual. It is collective as well, but it's individual, and you need to get quiet. So I felt the Lord say to me, I don't mind when you do it, but actually be very specific and say to me, like, it's going to be 2:00 in the afternoon when I've washed the dishes and, you know, there's a bit of peace, or, you know, when the kids are at school or whatever. But for me, it was early in the morning. So I actually decided I would get up an hour earlier, and I already get up quite early, but I felt that's what the Lord told me to do. And so, you know, I just said, well, you have to wake me up because I don't want to wake Charles up. So I found the Lord waking me morning after morning very early, and I just would get out of bed and go downstairs, make a cup of coffee, go and sit in my lounge, and I thought, I don't want to go through a routine. Do you know, it's very easy to open the Bible, read the Bible. You've got your routines, your familiar things. So I said, I'm not doing that. And I got my cup of coffee and sat down and just said, here I am. And that's when I started singing these old hymns. I mean, amazing old hymn. One hymn, well, one of the first ones, I had to look it up. It's glorious things of thee are spoken. Zion, city of our God, you whose word cannot be broken, he whose word cannot be broken, formed you for his own abode. And I just felt, I was singing that, and I felt the Lord say, I formed you for my abode. And I'm not satisfied until I'm abiding in you in a fullness which is going to be productive and fruitful and coming out of you, pouring out of you. And I just found myself over and over again singing hymns that I would go back and look at the words, because a lot of these great hymns were birthed in revival times. Now, that's my background. I got saved when I was 11. I went to a boarding school where I had morning prayers and, you know, every morning. So I've got stuff in me that I don't, you know, you wouldn't believe, you know. I mean, I probably know the Psalms almost off by heart because we had to read them. We had read a Psalm every single morning from the time I was 11 till I was 18. So it's got to go in there and stick somewhere, hasn't it, you know. And anyway, I just began to say, Lord, here I am. And I began to actually want to wake up, want to get up, want to go downstairs, want to have my time with the Lord, because every day was different. The Holy Spirit wants to instruct you. You, personally. And he knows where you're at and what you need. Now, I'm sharing some testimony because it's pertinent to me, but I just want to encourage you that he knows you. He scans you. It's like an X-ray machine. He knows. CT scanner, he knows exactly where you're at, what's going on inside you, and you don't even need words to express it. It's wonderful. I'm here, Lord. Okay, scan me. You know, and he does, and then he speaks into that. So this particular morning I was feeling quite sad. I was praying particularly for people and burdened by people who'd grown cold. You know, you see young people in their 20s and 30s passionate for God. You see them get married, you see them have a family, you see the cares of this world starting to, you know, their businesses, their everything begins to land on them. And then gradually you see that faith, enthusiasm has waned. It was that sort of sadness. And I began, just talking to the Lord about particular individuals and just, you know, praying blessing on them and just lifting them to the Lord. And the Lord then suddenly spoke to me, absolutely, almost like an audible voice. And he said, you know I can walk through walls. I started laughing. I said, yes, of course I know you can walk through walls. He said, well, I can walk through every wall that you actually mentioned before me. Brilliant. Just like I can walk through walls. So I had a pen in my hand and I started writing down a whole list saying, get through that one, Lord. You know, he will walk through walls. So then he said, I can walk through walls. I said, I know you can. He said, I can access hard hearts. I can enter places where everyone else is locked out. And all those that you've brought before me, I will walk into. So I began to think of all the rest of the people I wanted to add to the list. But you see, it's such a simple thing. But it took away all, made me laugh, and it took away all that sense of heaviness. He can walk through walls. So then I actually pursued that and said, okay, let me look at the scriptures where you walk through walls. So in John 20 and verse 19, it says, Jesus came, this is after the resurrection, and he stood amongst them and he said, peace be with you. And then a week later, he came again in John 20 and verse 26. And he specifically came for Thomas. And he showed Thomas the nail prints in his hand. And then he said the same thing again, peace be with you. And as I just pondered on that, I thought, when he walks through the walls, people need a new encounter with the extent of his love. See his nail prints. And then they need a new hearing of the word peace. Peace I give to you. And so you see, that was just a few moments early in the morning, sitting with the Lord on my own, and yet it was an adventure. And each day is different. I can be filled afresh with the Spirit. I can be settled. Father knows what I need. I sometimes pray in tongues. Sometimes I sing in the Spirit. Sometimes I find myself just declaring things that he's laid on my heart. But time flies. And normally I spend about an hour. It doesn't really matter. I'm not legalistic about it. Sometimes I know it's finished. And I go up and wake up Charles. Or sometimes he's already awake and he's in the shower singing. But one day the Lord just said this to me. He said, child, I am nourishing you. Strength and vitality are flowing unseen into you. Wisdom and insight are growing in you like marrow in your bones. Enjoy your life. Enjoy my favor. Enjoy my word. Enjoy my people. And you know, that's a lovely picture to feel that as we are in the presence of the Lord of life, he's flowing who he is into the very fabric of our being, like marrow in our bones. Why would we not want that? Do you know? Why would we not want it? And then I was asking him, why on earth am I singing all these old hymns? You know, I mean, there's plenty of new ones which are much more jazzy and, you know, exciting. But I don't know why, but this is what he said to me. He said, all the old hymns you are singing are creating a platform of worship and adoration and a proclamation of who I am. See, I would call the hymn we sang this morning an old hymn. It is an old hymn. It's one I know a different tune to. But the words are great, you know, and they're providing a platform of who I am. And as this becomes your focus, you will find yourself knowing my almightiness in a new way. Awesome God, almighty, great, victorious. Those are sort of some of the words in those old hymns. And as they become the terminology on your lips, they will form your concept of me. That was just something the Lord said to me. And I felt that is it. As we are proclaiming, you know, almighty God. You know, I was saying to Pastor Judith, I've been crying out, where is the God of Elijah? You know, he was an awesome, almighty, is, you know, not was, but is almighty, victorious. Thy great name we praise, you know. And it just pours out of you, you know. We are in the habit, as I've already said to you, of reading the Word of God through on a yearly basis. But earlier in this year, I was given a book by a lady called Marilyn Hickey, and she wrote a book, a wonderful book, called It's Not Over Until You Win. And in that book, I wrote down some of the salient things of that book. She reads the Bible cover to cover twice a year. And I was challenged by it. I am challenged by it. I'm challenged by it right now. I mean, these are not legalistic things, but the more word you have in you, the more strength you will have in you. And she is she must be coming up for 90 now. She's the late 80s. Anyway, she's still traveling the world taking preaching mission. She goes to Pakistan and she fills a stadium in Islamabad with thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people in there, and she preaches the gospel. You know, my desire is that I will have so much of God in me that I will be that strong when I'm that age. Because it's remarkable. But it isn't her, it's a miracle just watching her. You know, she is full of the fullness of God, and he is giving her life in every part of her. Anyway, she said that in this book, and I must have written it down, she said, you can ring people up. She said, I've made a habit of ringing up 10 people a day and praying for them. She said, keep it short and sharp, but just ring people up and say, I had you on my mind, ringing you to pray for you. Pray for them. Now, I thought when I read that, when I, you know, pondered that, because I was looking at that again this morning, I thought, actually, in this lockdown period, that's an easy thing to do, isn't it? Put 10 people on my heart, put 5 people on my heart, put 1 person on my heart, start somewhere, you know, and don't just ring them up to gossip. Say, I am ringing you, the Lord put you on my heart, I just want to pray for you, and then let the Spirit of God flow through you and pray for them. I've had some interesting conversations recently with extended family members. I had a cousin who I was quite close to as a child, But as an adult, we've totally lost touch. She lives up in the north of England. And she rang me up out of the blue. I probably hadn't spoken to her for at least 3 years, or I think since her husband died, which must be more than that. And she said, "Oh, I'm just ringing you up because I just wondered how you were and how you're getting on at the moment." And she's not a Christian. And she said, and I wanted Audrey, my sister's email address. She said, I just felt I wanted to be in touch with her. So I gave it to her, and then I said, "How are you, Anne?" And she told me what was going on. And she said, "Actually, I'm all right, but I have got a trapped nerve in my back, and I'm in a lot of pain, and I'm waiting for a hospital appointment. But with the COVID, it's not happening." So I said, "I'd like to pray for you." And I said, "Put your hand on the place where it's really sore, and let me just pray now." And I prayed very simply. I mean, you know, I couldn't see her, she couldn't see me. I just thought, you know, go for it, Joyce. You know, just sitting in the room going, because, you know, he knows I haven't seen her. We're not really in physical contact. And so she said, "Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much." Then she sent me an email the next day and said, "Your prayer must have worked." And the incident we had the other day with Reuben, our grandson, when Pastor Judith rang up to ask Charles and I if we'd come down here this Sunday, which is about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? Something like that. We were in the middle of a total crisis with this grandson of ours, in that he had had a series of very, very bad fits, and he was unconscious for 12 hours. And so actually, as you know, a 19 as he was then, he's now 20, you know, you're just devastated. When his mother was ringing from Cornwall up to the hospital or the centre where he was being treated, they kept saying, "We're working on him. We're working on him." So you can imagine that sort of fear level that was actually gripping her and then in turn hovering over us. As we didn't intend to share that particularly with Judith, but as she was on the phone, we know she's a prayer and a warrior, and we wanted to share it with people who would know how to pray, not people who just tell God, you know, moan at him, really. We wanted people of faith. And out of Judith's spirit, man, came these words, "Reuben, let Reuben live and not die." And then she immediately, I knew immediately it was coming from her spirit. It wasn't just quoting a verse of scripture. And she said, "It's a scripture." So immediately my mind goes to work and I think it's probably Jacob blessing all the tribes of Israel in the beginning of Genesis. And I looked it up because I was sitting in the lounge with my Bible on my knee, and it wasn't. And so in the meantime, Charles is on his computer and it's a Deuteronomy scripture. It's actually Moses' blessing. So then you read it. There it is on the page. "Let Reuben live." So we started to pray on the phone and we were declaring that Reuben will live. Not just be alive, but he will live. He's not living at the moment, but he will live and not die. And his offspring, his progeny, will be many. Or not a few, I think it says. So I want to say to you, when the word is there, God can pull it out by the Holy Spirit at any time. But if it's not in there, he's got nothing to pull on. And I think that's why it's so important that we encourage people to read the Word of God, even when it's blood, blood, blood. As one of my kids said to me one time, "Oh, Mom, I'm in Leviticus, and it's blood, blood, blood." Said, "Keep going, it gets better." So I want to tell you, one time Charles and I were in Austria and we'd been ministering to a whole group of church leaders, and a man, a very miserable, I have to say, looking man came up to us and he said he wanted to speak to us, he needed a translator, and he sat down and he said, "I'm very disappointed in God." Oh, here we go. And he told us the story of why he was disappointed in God. And it was something, I can't remember all the ins and outs, a long time ago, but the sense was he'd had a fire. He was Hungarian. His house in Hungary had a fire, and during that fire, all the documentation of his ministry, you know, all his certificates and all the rest, diplomas and everything, had all been burnt up in the fire. And he then moved to Switzerland, but he had no documentation to give to people. So he felt that God had abandoned him. So he said, lots of people prayed with me, but I can't get through this sense of being abandoned and whether God's got any future for me and all the rest of it. So, you know, you just have to go into the Spirit, dig deep and say, Lord, give me a word for this man. And the scripture came to me, and I knew it was a bit like this thing with Reuben. Scripture came to me, the word of the Lord came a second time. And I'm going, where does that come from? But I knew it was a direct quote. It's in Jonah. And when Jonah had run away from God and got himself into all sorts of trouble, I think about chapter 4 in Jonah, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So I just said to this guy, Jonah ran away from God, you've run away from God. Different circumstances. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time because God has a destiny for you and it will be fulfilled. And the word of the Lord is going to come to you a second time. So you need to open your ears, stop belly aching. I mean, I probably didn't say it quite like that, but that's what I did say to him. And actually start listening. Because God has a destiny for each one of us, which will be fulfilled. And COVID isn't going to stop it. Nothing's going to stop it. So, you know, I just want to encourage you, get the word into you. Because then the word can come out of you. I want to tell you that God will give you directions. So as I'm sitting there in the morning, I sometimes just get a real sense that the Lord is actually planning the day and showing me what's ahead on the day. And I'm not particularly asking him for that, but I feel that he actually lays somebody on my heart, or he lays a telephone conversation and says, you need to ring that person. But one day, I asked the question, not recently, but this is some time ago, and I want this to be repeated for all of us on a regular basis. Give me directions, Lord. I'm your servant. What do you want your servant to do today? What do you want me to be involved in your kingdom today? And then on this particular morning, and I will never forget it because it's like a prototype, we had a mission. Our church had a mission in Clevedon. We had a big tent on the seafront. And in the morning, everybody who could would gather together and pray and seek the Lord for the mission and the evangelism, giving out leaflets and all the rest of it. And I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? And I heard him quite clearly say, go to the graveyard. And I go, what? And it was so clear that I didn't go down to where they were praying and giving out leaflets in the town. I just got up and started walking to where I thought the graveyard was. We meet in a secondary school. So the churches, you know, I'm not familiar with which ones have graveyards open or not open. So I started walking up to where I thought the graveyard was. It was all uphill. And I said to this woman, is the graveyard someone near here? Thinking, oh, help, you know, I've been chugging up the hill. And she said, oh, no, dear. She said, that graveyard's closed. She said, but the one at the Fisherman's Church on the seafront is open. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. And I start walking towards there. And when I get into this churchyard, it's a graveyard. You know, a beautiful view across the English Channel to Wales, or across the Bristol Channel to Wales. And I'm sitting there, it's a lovely morning, and there's two seats. You know, oak graves all over everywhere, and one seat there, bench, and one seat there. And I go and sit on that bench, and there's a man sitting on that bench. And I'm sitting there, I say, Lord, if this is where you want me, on the way up, I'd said to him, why am I going here? And he said, you'll meet a man who's got lots of questions. Is that the man? He said, you won't know unless you go and talk to him. So I plonk myself next to this older guy, I mean, probably the same age as me, but he seemed to look old. And I said, are you going to find this lovely morning, he said, and he was Irish. And I said, it is a lovely morning. I said, you're going to find this a bit strange. I said, but actually, see that tent down there? Because we're now on the seafront. I said, our church is having a mission down there. And I said, God told me that there was somebody in this churchyard asking questions. Is that you? So he looked a bit sort of shaken, and he said, yes, it is. He said, my nephew has just been killed in Northern Ireland. And he said, I'm sitting here looking at these empty graves, and looking at that grave that is open there, dug, ready for a body. And he said, I'm asking the questions, what happens after you die? And I said, well, I can tell you what happens. And I just shared the gospel with him. And I said, can I pray with you? And he said, oh, yes, do. So I prayed with him. And I didn't lead him to the Lord. I have to tell you that. I kicked myself afterwards. I prayed for him. I prayed as the Holy Spirit led me. But I wished I'd had some gospel literature on me. And I wished that I had actually been more specific in saying to him, you know, God's been searching for you and he sent me to find you. And he looks for lost sheep. Do you know? Or something along those lines. Anyway, I didn't. The next day it poured with rain. And I was feeling kind of troubled that I hadn't said enough. So I got up in the morning and I said to the Lord, where should I go today? Should I go back to that graveyard? And he said, no, but go back to Clevedon and walk along the seafront, along the pathway that goes along the seafront. It's called Poet's Walk. So I'm walking along there, and suddenly somebody shouts and says, you again, you again, are you an angel? I said, no, I'm just an ordinary lady. And he said, come and sit down here. And there was a seat, and he sat down. He said, I went back to my friends, and I told them I'd met an angel. And this angel prayed for me and talked to me. And I said, no, I'm not an angel. I'm flesh and blood. I'm real. I said, but I'm so glad to see you because I felt there was more to this conversation than I gave you yesterday. So I had with me is it called Ready, Steady, Mark or something? It doesn't matter. It's a gospel of Mark, and it tells you how to receive Jesus, you know, how to pray the prayer of salvation. So I said, would you like to have this? And he said, yes. And then he turned it over, and the address on where it was printed is a place in Bromley in Kent. And he said, I live near there, and I pass that door every day. So I said to him, well, that's significant. I said, go and knock on the door and tell them what's happened to you. And I said, they'll look after you. He was going back to London on the coach an hour later. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but even retelling that story, I get goosebumps because God knows people so specifically. And he wants to direct you. So I'm going to stop there, but I want to just read you a hymn that I had this morning. Oh, walk with Jesus, wouldst thou know how deep, how wide his love can flow. Walk thou with him whose ways rest. All other pathways are unblessed. And this is what the Lord spoke to me in my own, you know, listening to him this morning. I am your place of joy, your place of security, your place of safety and peace, rest and refreshment. I have the words of eternal life, and I've called you, I can't read my own writing. And I have all you need, wisdom and insight, counsel and revelation. Everything for life and godliness is found in me. There is nothing you need that will not be given to you. Learn to wait on me and you will find rest and peace that will be visible to those around you. You will become beacons of light as the darkness deepens, and you will draw people to you as moths to light. Do not be afraid. All your springs of joy are found in me, and I love to pour out my spirit on you and give you abundance in every area of life. When you find yourself flagging, and this is a scripture in Hebrews, when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item, and it will shoot adrenaline into your soul. Amen. That's Hebrews 12. So I share those things with you. They are personal, but You know, God is no respecter of persons. If he will meet with me when I choose to find that quiet place and sit with him with an open agenda, then he will do the same for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Wonderful, absolutely, this morning. We have been loaded with benefits. And I really feel the Lord has put his finger on this relationship of just waking up singing and beginning the day just in his presence, because the everything we've heard is exactly what we need as the antidote and the winner. We're here to win, not just to survive this. And this is the way. And I mean, just to finish with my testimony, I know we've been a bit longer this morning, but I had a birthday a couple of days ago, and we had a celebration meal in the evening. And you know, the highlight wasn't ancient hymns, it was modern. We went modern. We went all the way into the current. But all of them, ancient and modern, if God puts it on your heart, and San got in her heart to play a song, Awake My Soul and Sing His Praise, and remember that our God has never failed us. And we couldn't eat. We were standing, praising the Lord at the dining room table, praying in the Spirit. And, you know, then we went back to the food. But, you know, the life of God, relationship with Jesus, he is not an add-on. He's not just mourning, but we must awake and sing again. The winter is past. As soon as you start singing, I believe there's something that cracks open out of your spirit and brings you out of the fridge spiritually and into fruitfulness. And I think this is such a key word we've heard this morning. And we must sing, even when we don't feel like it, because there's so much of a spirit of heaviness around us. And God has given us an anointing of joy. Amen. A spirit of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. So, such a wonderful word. Thank you so much, both of you, for the stories of the spirit-led life and living. Wonderful.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.